Ah, yes, it's World Cafe podcast time again. Thank you for downloading our World Cafe Words and Music podcast. I'm David Dye, and today we welcome Natasha Khan of Bat for Lashes back to the World Cafe. We first met her a couple of years ago when Fur and Gold, her first album, came out. That was in 2006. That album drew heady praise from the likes of Bjork and Radiohead's Thom Yorke, and now Natasha is back with a new album, Two Sons, and has joined us for a very stripped-down, all-acoustic performance. I asked her if she enjoyed playing the songs this way, which is very different than the album, as also kind of different from what a Bat for Lashes stage show would sound like.
It's really fun because the live show is really bombastic with lots of beats and lush layers, and it's really big and huge sounding. So when we're doing the lo-fi stuff, it's quite beautiful and using like the harmonium and the mux phone and the piano cord and all these eclectic, unusual instruments, it's really fun to be able to hear them and have that more intimate sound.
Yeah, we should say that we are surrounded like with like we're in an antique store of instruments over here. I'm not even sure what a marxophone is, but we will hear it in a bit, right?
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, before we talk more about Two Sons, I was interested to read that your first album, Fur and Gold, is being turned into a musical.
Well, hopefully, if we can get the budget and all of that sorted, which is always the way with films, there's a scriptwriter and a director in LA that I kind of met up with, and they basically have the idea of doing Fur and Gold the musical, but kind of like a never-ending story sort of children's film.
Oh, fantastic.
With all of the songs of Fur and Gold kind of chronologically taking you on this narrative that they've developed. And I think it would be really magical if it happens.
Now, is the narrative really apparent on the album? Because it's interesting to look at this Two Sons. Once you find out a little bit of your way into this album, it's really apparent what's going on with the poles of people and everything. It was Fur and Gold that way for you as well? Was it?
Fur and Gold was more like a collection of different landscapes and internal places and my imagination, and which created a world, I think. But I didn't have so much of a linear narrative because the songs are plucked from all different places.
Right.
Whereas this album, Two Sons, definitely feels like it takes you on a journey, and you can really kind of see the journey throughout the album, I think, with some kind of resolution at the end.
And there are two sons, there are two characters, and if you flip the album over, you can see both of them. One of them is you, but one of them is Pearl, who is blonde, as you are not. When did this Pearl persona come in? Is it a persona or a part of you, or how do you see it?
People have asked me if it's my alter ego, and I don't think it is that kind of black and white, but she definitely appeared whilst I was in New York, and she's quite filmic, and I love to sort of document images and illustrations and ideas in my sketchbooks when I'm making records. And she's definitely like she'd be a character in the movie of the album. She's kind of like a dreamlike character, I suppose.
Do you see things visually a lot when you think of
music?
Yeah,
well, I kind of studied and was always painting and drawing before I ever did music, so for me it's a very natural way of being creative. And so when I do the music, I definitely see a lot of things as well.
Natasha Khan, Bat for Lashes, are with us today. And what do you want to play first?
We're going to do a lo-fi version of Daniel.
I knew that
That is Daniel from Two Sons, when you may have heard us play from the New Bat for Lashes album. And Natasha Khan is with us here today. You called that lo-fi, but it had a bit of bombast. That's nice. I like
that. Yeah, some beats in there.
Definitely good. Now, maybe I'd love it if you talk a little bit about the time you spent in Williamsburg, because I know some players from that area, people from Yesayer and others who worked on this record. What was it like for you to come from, I don't know where we're sitting, there are a lot of musicians in Brighton, to Brooklyn, where there's probably more per square mile than anywhere right now. Was it a good community of people musically for you?
It was really good, because Brighton for me is more about sort of home and just having somewhere quiet to be. And so coming across from there and living in Brooklyn over the past 3 years, it's just been amazing, because 3 years ago was kind of when it felt like it was all really starting to bubble up. And so I got to see Gang Gang Dance really early, and TV on the Radio had obviously been around for a while, but there are a lot of great musicians, and the place I was staying in is kind of like a warehouse with lots of people living there, and there would just be saxophonists and bass players and guitarists and people with organs and people coming in and out constantly and adding stuff to my songs that I was working on. And it was just really nice to feel part of it, but I didn't even realize it was happening while I was there. So looking back in hindsight, it's been quite exciting, really.
Does New York figure thematically? I mean, you can look at A Dark and Light Side to Two Sons, and I guess New York would be the dark. It's urban.
That's yeah. I don't know if it's purely the dark and light, but I suppose it is. It's definitely the city, and definitely represents probably slightly harder times for me.
You went through a breakup.
Yeah, and it was just kind of, I very much love being near nature and kind of feeling grounded and connected in that way. And so New York's a bit of a whirlwind emotionally and geographically and everything. It's just really high energy and it can be quite hard to be there, especially in the winter months. It's quite harsh.
Bat for Lashes, Natasha Khan is our guest. And where to next? What do you want to do?
I think we're going to do Moon and Moon. Thank you.
big bad hand pushing on my back. Do you understand? When I get home, been in the jungle, where's my bed to lick me clean, feed my soul milk and honey?
That is Moon and Moon, another one from Two Sons from Bat for Lashes, playing live for us today on the World Cafe. All right, I want to talk about a movie theater in Brighton, the Duke of York.
The Duke of Yorks.
Yeah. And, I understand that was kind of a special place for you.
I've been there many, many times. And when I first moved to Brighton in 2000, I think I saw Buffalo 66, The Virgin Suicides, and Donnie Darko, and Dancer in the Dark, all in the space of a couple of years. And it was very influential for me and for the first album, watching all those films and getting really into the soundtracks. And it's a really old cinema with like red velvet seats and popcorn, and it's really old, and it's just a special place.
Now, when you listened, actually, you got more of this, I think, when the first album came out, people kind of, partially because of how you dressed, you were wearing headbands, which became a fashion statement. was there any kind of this hippie culture that you were involved with, or you just, I mean, it ends up being interpreted that way?
I think it partially came from my love of Woodstock and things like that from when I was a small girl. I used to watch those DVDs and think the women looked beautiful, and I really love Native American mythology and folklore and all of the way they dressed too. And I think combined with my love of the 20s, where they kind of evoked that headband thing, so it comes from a lot of different areas. And it was a lot to do with us girls kind of dressing up and playing, really, and just having fun with it. But also, you know, I hung out in San Francisco and California with Devendra Banhart quite a lot, and sort of soaked up quite a lot of that lovely 70s sunny kind of vibe. And it all kind of came together organically and just created this thing, I think.
You know, it's funny talking about things that affected somebody and their influences early on, because nowadays any kind of music from any era is available to us, any kind of art. We just have to, you know, Google it, and
YouTube.
It's there. But I did want to ask you if you think there's anything from being, you know, growing up younger in Pakistan and then moving here, if anything from that you think affected you differently than other people.
Well, I didn't actually grow up in Pakistan. I just visited a few times, a few summers, and spent sort of a couple of months there. But I was actually very English in a way. And growing up in Hertfordshire, it's a very rural kind of countrysidey outside of London, and was very kind of inspired by fairy tales and Hans Christian Andersen and Grimm's brothers and all of that kind of magical English kind of traditional fairy tale sort of thing, and Roald Dahl and those types of books. And then going across to Pakistan, I think I was just exposed to more cultural differences and a more kind of eclectic range of communities and the way people behaved and things like that. So I think as a young child it was quite interesting to be exposed to that, but I don't think my music's that much imbued with that, I suppose, really.
Do you have a favourite Grimm's fairy tale?
I think, well, not Grimm's so much. I suppose my favourite that I remember is called Sealskin. And it's an old Inuit fairy tale, and it's about this man who comes across these seven beautiful women that are dancing on the shore, and they're actually seals that come up onto shore at moonlight and take their seal skins off. And he steals one of them because he falls in love with one of the women, and the consequences of that.
There's lessons there, indeed. Indeed. All right, what would you like to play next?
I'd like to play a song from the last album, Priscilla, and a sort of slightly different way of playing that.
There's a girl that wants to stop. I'm thinking about having a couple of kids. Comb a brush around their heads in the morning. To be needed simply and with meaning. Her name is Karen, been on the road for so long. She wants to live in a place that has a number and a name. Find love as an anchor before the courage is gone. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, I tell you. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, I tell you. Cross that bears her name. She's not your queen anymore, queen of the highway. Need something better than running away. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, I tell you. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, Priscilla. She really loves him, I tell you.
Priscilla from Bat for Lashes. That's our World Cafe Words and Music podcast for this week. Thank you very much for downloading the show. You must be familiar with our website, which is at worldcafe.npr.org. Don't forget, you can also sign up for our World Cafe Next podcast. Also, if you want to get our daily newsletter, that's all there as well at worldcafe.npr.org. And maybe tell a friend about it. It's always great to get these sessions out to more people. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.